Love grows deep roots. Amen. If it's genuine, authentic love, if it's God's love, it's enduring love. And it will endure the storms of life. And we will remain standing. How many have felt like there's been a storm going on in your life as of maybe even the last year? It's been kind of crazy, hasn't it? And well, God is the one who speaks peace to the storm. Amen. The Lord can speak His shalom over our lives and His perfect wholeness. So He's trying to, once again, wean us off ourselves. You know, I say this often, but do yourself a favor. I have to say this to myself in the mirror once in a while. But get over yourself, Keith. You know, just get over yourself. You know, not about you. And God's got a work, and He knows how to complete a work that He begins. And even though sometimes we're wondering, God, is this going to ever produce fruit, or is this going to come to fruition? But God is faithful to that which He commits Himself to, and He has committed to you through covenant. Amen. A covenant that God makes is a covenant that is lasting. It's enduring. Do you understand the covenant that God made with men in the Old Testament was easily broken because God was always faithful on His end, but people were not. Amen. So those covenants throughout history, even today, amen, we can make deals with God, covenants with God, and they can be broken. Amen. God doesn't break His promises. He's a promise keeper. But this is the awesome thing about the new covenant in His blood. Because God could swear by none greater, He swore by Himself. The Father and the Son came into agreement. Amen. And Jesus was willing to partner, amen, with the Father in His will to become a man. Amen. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, become our sacrifice, to reconcile us back to God. And there's an eternal covenant in His blood. And the blood is there on the mercy seat in heaven. Hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense attorney. Praise God. And we can plead our case before Him, not only for the sins and transgressions. Amen. But we can also plead our cause before Him for justice. Sometimes we need justice. How many have been praying for justice these days? We need justice in our land. Amen. And God loves justice. So remember that. God loves justice. He hates injustice. He hates an unfair balance. So we need to plead our case before the Father. Amen. And know that God is able to do miracles. Amen. He can part the Red Sea. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. I know in our own minds we limit God. I know I do. But God has no limits. Amen. I talked about this a lot, but you know, East and West Germany, if some of you are around for that, remember that? In one day, that wall came down. It had been up for years. How did that happen? That was God. That was God intervening. So God can turn things around in our nation. I think we need to stand on the Word of God, stand in faith and believe, amen, that God has good in store for our nation yet. And we're going to partner with Him. Amen. I'm not getting on the doom and gloom train. Amen. I spent too much time wasting my time on that one. Amen. Now, I believe there's a time when God seals His judgment. Amen. And judgment will come if a people continue to be stubborn. Amen. But I'm believing right now, and I hope you're believing with me, that God is going to intervene in mercy and turn this thing around. Amen. And bring a great revival, a great awakening. Hallelujah. Before the time, amen, when Jesus returns, hallelujah, I believe that the Lord is going to come just like He promised, amen. And who's He coming for? He's coming for those that are looking for Him, amen. So we don't want to be caught asleep, amen. We want to be awake. We want to hear the voice of the bridegroom, amen. The bridegroom comes, hallelujah. And you remember the bride would actually sleep in her wedding gown. So she was dressed. She was ready for the occasion. Amen. Because she never knew whether it would be noonday or midnight hour when the call went out. Amen. That was the time. Amen. To be ready. Hallelujah. And even those bridesmaids, amen, that were to light the procession, they had to be in a state of readiness as well. Because the time was going to come, amen, when the Father would speak to the Son. Because no one knows the day nor the hour, Amen. Neither the angels in heaven or the Son of Man except the Father. And at that time, he's going to say, Son, now's the time. Hallelujah. So don't get hung up on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Amen. Jesus will come when the Father says come. All right? We're good with that? All he's telling us is be ready. Amen. Because he's coming in an hour when you... There's all kinds of versions of least expect it, think not, King James. Have any others out there? Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I think we've already had a sermon this morning. But would you join me in prayer? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, I want you to speak through me today. Lord, I ask you to give me ears to hear what you are saying, that I'll be a faithful steward, and that I'll be able to speak the very oracles of God, that, Lord, you will impart life, Lord, truth, grace to our hearts. Father, we pray that we will be changed today. I want to be changed. And I want to be more like you, Lord. Transform our thinking today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the title of today's message is By the Grace of God. By the Grace of God. Now, we know it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Right? It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. But everything in the Christian life has to be out of the grace of God. It has to be because we are walking in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord. And only as we walk in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord can we produce the Spirit of the Lord, amen, in this life. Because it's not about you and I trying to act loving or act good. How many know the world can act loving and act good and act peaceful? Amen. But the fruit that God receives is a fruit that is a result of His Spirit working through clay vessels like you and I. Amen? And that's because we're in harmony. We're at peace with Him through the blood. Amen? And we're listening to His voice. As we walk together with the Lord, we will automatically produce fruit. Amen? If we are planted by the Lord and we're drinking of the water of life, who is Jesus Christ, then we will automatically produce fruit. God's fruit, amen, the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not about me just making a few improvements, a little self-help correction here and there. You know what I'm saying? Because the world can do that, amen. But God does not accept the fruit of sinful Adam or the flesh. He accepts the fruit of the Spirit. So you and I are incapable of producing the kind of fruit that God approves of. Otherwise, we become self-righteous and we start to compete and we start to compare ourselves with others. So if we're going to do any boasting, we should be boasting in who? Amen. In the Lord. Why? Because He's the one that produces that good fruit in our lives. You see, sometimes we get into it without realizing we can become legalists. And we go around acting like Christians. It's not what you act like, it's who you become. And who you are is who you will present to the world. We want to be transformed. We want to become like Jesus. Amen. So people will see the likeness of the Lord in us. Otherwise, we're just trying to do good. But goodness that God accepts is the goodness that comes from Him. So my goodness has to be His goodness. That's why He said, you must abide in me, right? John chapter 15, here we go, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Continue in me is what He means. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For what? Without me, you all know this by heart, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It's called having God's favor. Where we're in harmony with the Spirit, when we're obedient children, there are favors. When your children behave themselves, they may just get an ice cream, right? but they may have to have a timeout. Now, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a timeout. It was the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, right? But, you know, guys, in theory, we may know what Jesus is saying. But do we practically live this way? This is really what I need to ask myself. Because the Christian life is very practical. It's something that we practice. It's something that we do live out. But we live out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in my own soul power or willpower. You understand? Some people are pretty good at controlling themselves simply by an act of their own will. Others, not so much. But either way, if we're not being motivated by the love of Christ, by the Spirit of the Lord, if we're not led by the Spirit, then that fruit is dead. We're incapable of producing the fruit that God accepts apart from Him. Only in Christ can we produce the kind of fruit that God accepts. So, question, have you come to the place in your life where you realize that any attempt to live for God apart from God is vain? Well, hopefully we're getting there, right? We still have this stubborn part of us. We still have that other part of us. We call it the Adamic nature that we were born with. Amen? And God wants us to be weaned off of that. He wants that part of us to die. You have to starve out that part of you by not listening to that old man anymore, right? But listening to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So you and I cannot teach, preach, serve, bless, or do anything correctly except by the grace of God. God wants us to realize that apart from Him, we can do nothing with eternal value or significance. So what is a dead work? A dead work is basically a work that may even be a good work, but it's a work that is done out of us and not out of Christ. How many know you can spend yourself doing good things that are not necessarily God's will for you? So that which we do in obedience to the Father, in agreement with His will, is that which will endure. That's why the Lord said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. He learned how to walk in harmony with His Father and carefully walk with the Father so that He wasn't spending Himself needlessly, but He spent Himself wisely. Are you hearing me? How many know what it's like to give yourself over to so many things thinking that you're doing God a favor only to get really burnt out and frustrated and not having fun anymore? Oh, I got to go teach those brats again, you know. Of course, you've never been there and done that, but... But it's true, you know, sometimes we can get distracted. And I believe the enemy is a hard taskmaster, you know. And sometimes he puts a false burden on you. You ain't doing enough. You ain't working hard enough. You're not pleasing enough. And so you live in this mode of performance. And are you hearing me? If you're not listening to the right voice, you can spend yourself needlessly and produce dead works, and it'll be wood, hay, and stubble in the day of judgment. Amen. We want that which is going to endure. Amen. That which we've done. So it's okay to relax and don't be so hard on yourself. Just say, Lord, what are we going to do together today? We're just going to walk this out. We're going to do life together today. Amen. Life in the Spirit is peace. Amen. Otherwise, it becomes even a competition sometimes without realizing it. As we can get frustrated. How come I'm the only one that ever does anything around here? Of course, you never said that, right? Moving right along. Sometimes we can get kind of caught up in everybody should be doing what we're doing and thinking like we're thinking. And are you understanding this? We all function according to our gift set. God has gifted us a certain way, so we see through that lens. But what we have is something that's valuable that can be contributed to the whole. So the whole body is healthy and growing together in the Lord. Amen. We become mature in the Lord as we receive the benefits of each gift being implemented and being used. So don't think that just because you happen to have a certain perspective about something that everybody has to see it that way. Sometimes it's a truth that does not change. Amen. It is the word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about sometimes the perspectives that we have on things in life can be often controlled by how we see things according to our gift set. All right. So just lighten up. All right. Because I sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, thinking that everybody should see things exactly the way I do. If you're more of a prophet, you're very black and white about everything. Well, the teacher's going to be more of an expositor, you know, and they're going to bring out all the details, and they love to dig in and study, right? But the servant is like, I just want to help out. How can I help out here, you know? Right? And the leader is the one that wants to be there just to kind of direct things, you know. Well, you'll get the mop. You know, remember the illustration of the cake that got dropped on the floor, right? So the servant's up there and, you know, let me just clean that up. Let me take care of it. How come I'm the only one cleaning up around here? Well, the leader, the administrator says, well, go get a mop and go get a broom and go get a dustpan and let's get her cleaned up. And the teacher says, let me give you a block of instruction on how to carry that cake. And the prophet says, that's what happens when you don't pay attention. Yeah. Okay, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Listen to what the great apostle Paul said. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So Paul came to a place that he realized that he didn't possess the goodness that he needed. It had to be God's goodness. So it's impossible for the old Adamic nature that we were born with to produce life. Even if it's a good deed. If it's of Adam, it's unprofitable. Romans 8 and verse 7. Here it is. The sinful nature we're talking about, right? Is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God, even if it's a good thing. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Are you in Christ today? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God does not accept anything from the Adamic nature, because that nature is sold under sin. So Jesus didn't just come to offer us forgiveness of sin, but to free us from sin's power. Paul said in Romans 7:14, again, I am carnal and I am sold under sin. He's speaking about that natural man, that Adamic nature that we were born with, that we were used to living according to. Whatever we thought was right. It has to be right because I thought it. Now, if a person is truly born again, what happens is they have a new nature. They receive a new heart, and this new heart hates sin. It doesn't mean that you live a perfect sin-free life. It means that you hate it. And when you do sin, you're miserable, because the Spirit of the Lord is there to convict us. Are you hearing me? How many appreciate the Holy Spirit conviction? That He's there to point it out, amen, so we can quickly get it resolved, hallelujah, and get that monkey off our back. But we never find enjoyment in sin anymore. Even though the devil will entice you to get you to bite off or to try or sample or maybe go back and visit in your mind some place you shouldn't go, amen, once you go there, you realize that, hey, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, and it ain't worth it. It only leads to death. In 1 John 3 and verse 9, Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love others, other believers, does not belong to God. That's pretty clear, guys. So a person can say, I'm a Christian. Well, let's see how a Christian lives. Do you bear the fruit of Christ? Is the Spirit of Christ in you? Are you His? Do you belong to the Lord now? So as true believers, we still have to contend with that Adamic nature. But listen, this is the good news. In Christ, we possess the power to overcome it. I can do right through Christ. Amen. Because when you are in Christ, you receive a new heart. Amen. That desires to honor God. So people who refused to repent of sin, okay, are not going to go to heaven. I'm sorry. God calls all men everywhere to repent. He has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world by that man in whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this to us in that He has raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ is the judge. Come on. And today is the day of salvation. Today God is offering you a pardon. He's offering me a pardon. Hallelujah. Amen. To escape the snare of the devil. Hallelujah. And the power of sin is broken in Christ. If you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, the power of sin has already been broken in your life. You're no longer a slave to sin. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But then he went on to say, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, amen. But you have what? You repented. You believed. You came to Jesus for pardon, amen. And God canceled that. Hallelujah. Took it out of the way. Nailed it to His cross. Not to be held against you anymore. And now you can take up your cross and follow Him because He's then given you His Spirit, amen, into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. You become a child of His, and you have victory over sin and over Satan in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The power of Satan's been broken also in your life. So it's one thing to confess sin and quite another to turn from it. So there's no such thing as salvation without true repentance. However, that message is very popular these days, you know. And so you and I, because we love Jesus, we don't want to do the things that grieve Him. Amen? Because His heart is in us. His desire is in us to please God. Amen? And what pleases God? That we believe Him. That we receive His Word. That what He says, we believe. We cherish His Word. We hide His Word in our hearts. We have been given the Spirit of Christ, amen, the Spirit of the Lord that's in us, the Spirit of truth. That law is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, amen, so that we know how to navigate, we know how to live. And when we step out of line, amen, we are aware of it because the Spirit of the Lord is there to deal with it, amen, and to bring us back into alignment with His will. Hallelujah. So there's no condemnation, amen, in Christ Jesus. To those who live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? So, God has given us already in Him victory over the sin nature. Okay? Paul said, in me, I find no good thing. So we need to understand, guys, it's not about my human goodness. It's about God's goodness. Amen. It's not the grace I give myself. Oh, you're not too bad. Besides, everybody else is doing it. No, it's His goodness. It's the pardon that he gives me because I repent. I change my mind, my attitude about what I'm doing, where I'm going, and I turn to the Lord for mercy. And I receive pardon, a new heart. This new heart desires to please him. And as a son, the Father will chastise me if he needs to get me back in alignment. Amen. With his will again. 1 John 3:8 says this, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." He who sins is talking about Adam here, the Adamic nature. "For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might," what? "Destroy the works of the devil." Amen. 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed, but we shall be," what we shall be, "but we know that what when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure." When the seed of God, the new nature of God is in you, the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you have different desires. Amen. You see things differently. How many know what I'm talking about? What I used to call normal is now abnormal. I have a new normal. I know the world's talking about the new normal, right? My new normal is to walk like Jesus, amen? And to be like him, hallelujah. He's my standard. I want to be like him when I grow up. So John is clearly saying here that when a person sins habitually, not talking about making a mistake, but a habitual sinner, it's evident that he or she is still in Adam and were never regenerated or born again. Yeah. So that's the part of us that sins, the Adamic nature. And the Adamic nature, the old man, wants to rule the house. So we have a battle that goes on, don't we? As to who's going to be in charge, who we're going to allow to rule us. Who we submit to is the one who rules us. If we submit to our carnal or fleshly or Adamic nature, our sin nature, then that nature will rule us gladly. But if we submit ourselves to the Lord, then he will reign. Amen. His power, his grace will work mightily within us. Because if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, amen, he will lift you up in victory. Yeah. It's only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can overcome the sin nature and bear good fruit. Again, in John 15:5, Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Now, let me move on to this, guys. Listen, please hear me today. The Adamic nature in you and I does not want to pray. Does not want to be uncomfortable. Does not want to sacrifice anything. Wants to be coddled. Wants to be paid attention to. Yeah, wants to be esteemed. The old nature is a narcissist. Just some people have better control over their narcissism. But all of us have some level of what they call ego. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Yeah, we struggle sometimes with nobody paid attention. Nobody shook my hand. Nobody said, "Good morning, brother." How about you being the one to say, "Good morning, brother, sister," amen? How about you being the one to go out and love somebody and to bless somebody, amen, and not sit around and wait for somebody to bless you? Yeah. What did Jesus do? He didn't wait around for somebody to come up and say, "Oh, Lord, you did a great job." No. He looked to the Father for that. He did what pleased the Father. Amen. If he had pleased man, he wouldn't have done the will of the Father. So God wants us to likewise follow his example and say, "I don't need to please people." Amen. If my ways please the Lord, often I will please people. But sometimes even when you're loving people and doing what's best for them and trying to tell them the truth, they're going to hate you for it. It comes with the territory. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you if we're following him. So get over you. Get over that part of you that has to be approved by men, that has to be accepted by others, and know that my Father in heaven accepts me, that I am his child, that I am his beloved son in the new birth. Amen? That's what Jesus went by. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Guys, God wants us to be vessels for him. Amen? And the more selfless that we are, the better we can serve the Lord. Because otherwise, it's about my comfort. What's in it for me? Oh, I certainly don't want to have to suffer. My favorite sitcom's about to come on. I certainly don't have time to pray right now. You understand that prayer sometimes is under attack by the enemy. He's trying to prevent you and I from praying. Because prayer is our communication, amen, with the Lord. We talk about Christianity being a relationship. Hello, somebody. How are we going to relate to the Lord if we're not communicating in prayer? Come on, talking to the Lord and listening for his voice, communing with him in the Spirit in songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, amen. Speaking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All these things are communicating with the Lord, amen. And in that place of intimacy in the Spirit, amen, will come your strength. The ability to serve the Lord is birthed in prayer. It's not me in my Adamic nature going out and doing good deeds for God. It's me walking with God in harmony with His Spirit, and automatically His desires become mine. And I want to do what pleases Him. I know what pleases the Lord, and those are the things I desire to do. Why? Because the inner man is overriding the outer man, and I have life and peace. And so the enemy doesn't want you to build up your inner man. He doesn't want you praying in the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing? He wants to disconnect you, and he wants you to connect you to other things that will only drain the life out of you, to weaken you. Because when we're weak spiritually, we're susceptible to temptation. You remember when Jesus found his disciples in the garden? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh. And you and I today have the Spirit in us, don't we? Hallelujah. Amen. And we also have that Adamic nature that does not want to comply. And that part has to die. It cannot win this battle, guys. Because if you give into that long enough, it's going to win out on you. I've known people, maybe you do too, who have at one time really walked solid with the Lord, strong in the Lord, were a real blessing to the body of Christ, and today they're so far away. How can that happen? Because they allowed themselves to go. They didn't discipline themselves to seek the Lord to pray and to do contrary to what their Adamic nature was saying. We had to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. And guys, this is a battle as to who is going to rule over us every day. If you want life and peace in the Spirit, you've got to be a person of prayer, a person of His presence. Come on, somebody. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't have power. A lot of people don't want to pray. They don't come to service. They'll listen to a message. But they have no prayer life. And so they do as well as they can during the service. And they feel good for a little while because they're in the atmosphere and they're receiving a blessing, even, amen, sometimes just a spillover from somebody else. As soon as they walk out that door, though, the devil said, I've been waiting for you. Gloom, despair, agony on you. Deep, dark depression. Are you hearing me? Guys, we got to have this connection individually. And when we are connecting in the Holy Spirit, walking with the Lord, when we come together, hallelujah, how good is that? When we come already prepared to church. This is not a filling station, amen? You go around the track until you run out of And you come back here and get your filling. How about going to the Lord every day and get filled up? Amen. How about in His Word every day? God will strengthen you. And I find that discipline can become a habit. So sometimes it's not easy. I fight with my flesh just like anybody else. It doesn't want to pray sometimes. But I find that when the more that you do it, and the more that you stay engaged in that, the more that you'll actually miss it when you're not praying. You'll say, man, I, because you can feel yourself like getting weak. You know what I'm talking about? You start to deflate spiritually. And that old nature, that other part of you starts to stick his ugly head up again. And you get short-wicked. You get irritable. You get impatient. You got to have first place. You want the biggest piece of cake. You want to be noticed. But when the Spirit is in control, when we are really yielding and allowing God to rule us and submitting to Him, then we'll find that it's not about us anymore. We don't care about whether somebody likes me or not. I'm not validated by people. This is where we got to get, guys, because if you are validated by people, you will compromise what is right. Oh, when the political correctness pressure comes on you, conformity. Well, I don't want to be the oddball. Are you hearing me, somebody? The enemy is a bully. He's a narcissist and a bully. He wants to use fear to control. Yeah. He's using fear and division right now in our nation. He's using fear and division in families. He's using fear and division in churches. He's getting us to come against one another in this nation. He's got his useful helpers that are more than willing to do his work for him. I'll be an enforcer because I'm so righteous. I thank you. I'm not like those people over there. So, you got to pray. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:4, here we go. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Is it important that we edify ourselves? Yeah. If you're just depending on somebody else to edify you, you're not going to make it. If you just think that coming to church once in a while is all you need, you're not going to make it. You'll live a defeated life. Why? Because you are the temple of God. You are the house of prayer. You are God's vehicle. Amen? And God wants you to come to Him daily and receive the grace and the help, right, from Him that you need to live victorious over that Adamic, that old nature. So that part of you, amen, is not telling you what to do. And when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you can bless those who curse you. It's true. We have to live in a state of readiness. So often it's about events. Well, I'm going to go do an event on the weekend. I'm going to get a little dose. And then from the rest of the time, I'm going to just kind of like hang in there. You're like on spiritual IV drip until you can get to the next fix. Are you hearing me, somebody? And God says, I want you to come to me daily, just like Israel in the wilderness had to gather daily. They had to feed themselves. They had to build themselves. Amen. And then when we come together, it's so much more glorious because everybody's already filled. And we're all going to be just an overflowing cup. You know, it's good here this morning. I know there's a lot of people in here this morning that are overflowing cups. You feel that way today? You've been in the presence of the Lord? Now, how many know, guys, you just can't wait for the public gatherings? It's very important that we gather. Jesus said to gather. And not to forsake that. Amen. But We also need to have a personal prayer life. It's so vital. And you need to cultivate this. You need to work on that part of you that says no. And you need to put that part to death. You have to say, I would rather do this, but you're not going to get your way. How many know your old Adamic nature is like a spoiled brat? Stubborn. No. I will not. And that's when you take the adult in you, the spirit, and says, yes, you will. Yeah. I remember you sharing this one time, but it was good about, you know, we're like three parts. We're adults, teenagers, and children, right? The adult is the spirit, amen? And the teenager is your mind. Sometimes a child, sometimes an adult, amen? And the outer man or the body is like the five-year-old. And sometimes you're allowing the five-year-old to tell the adult what to do. Yeah, to run the house. That's a problem, isn't it? But if we don't cultivate a life of prayer and communion with God personally, individually, then, guys, you're not going to be able to make it, because Jesus said, unless we abide or continue in Him, we can bear no fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? He says, store up for yourself what? Treasure in heaven. That which will endure is that which has been done in agreement with God's will for you. Not just good things, but the right things. The right things are the things that God has called you to do and be. Amen. Now, Adam can't please God. Can you say amen to that? Jesus said in John 8:34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So we need to look at this in context. What he's talking about? He's talking about ownership. Who owns you? Whose roof are you under now? Whose command are you under now? Are you under the Adamic nature or are you under Christ? Amen. And if the Lord sets you free from you, you're free indeed. Sin no longer has power over you. Satan no longer has a power over you, except that which you would give him by complying to his lie, listening to his voice. Talked about a couple weeks ago, amen. He cannot take liberty on you except he was given permission by the Lord, or you gave him permission by listening to his voice rather than the voice of the Lord. So he has been stripped of his panoply. Jesus has made a public spectacle of them, even these principalities and powers. Jesus has all exousia, all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he says, now you go therefore in my name. Under my authority, you also have authority. Amen? And I've given you power over all the works of the enemy. Over all the power of Satan, amen? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus has all authority. He's given us an assignment to go and represent him in this world as we rely upon his grace, his ability, his strength that he supplies to us, because we rely upon him to do what we're called to do. Amen. We're not just working for God. We're walking with God. When you walk with God, you will do the works of God. But there has to be in that perspective. Okay, one more. The prodigal son. He had to learn that lesson. He had to understand that his way was just not right. It was not going to work. He might have been doing well for a while on his own. But finally, he ends up in the hog pen of life and realizes that was foolish. Remember, he was one that was originally with the Father, guys. He was in his Father's house, under his Father's roof. I believe this is talking about a backslider. Because he left on his own accord. He went into the world. He wanted to live independent of God. But he had to have his belly full of these pods, and he had to get a good taste of how ugly and how rotten this world was before he came to his senses and realized, what am I doing here? Are you hearing me, somebody? It's so much better at my Father's house. Man, I've been stressed out. I've been worried. I've been fearful. I'm miserable. I'm depressed. I'm going back to my Father's house. Well, maybe he'll just make me a hired servant. It'd be better than where I'm at. But when he came back, what happened? God, the Father, embraced him, loved him, kissed him. Welcomed him as a son, didn't he? Gave him a son's welcome. Had a celebration, had a party, hallelujah. And life is good in the God zone. Got to stay in the zone. Got to stay connected to the Father. Amen. And you'll have life and peace as you abide in him each day. Practice, amen, your relationship with him. Talk to the Lord often. Amen. Sing. Make melody in your heart. It doesn't matter if you can sing. Well, some people, well, I just don't sing. It just doesn't matter. God's not offended by you. He gave you that voice. He knows just how well you can do with it. All right? Trust me, I know. I use my voice all the time. So, does God love you? Are you accepted by the Father? Then that's what you need to know. And does God have a plan for your life? Is his plan superior to yours? So you need to pray. You need to seek the Lord. Draw near to him. Shut off the television. Turn off the tablet. Whatever you got to do. Get into the Word. Get on your knees. Get into the pray through. Amen. Till you get into a place where this part of you, that carnal mind, amen, is not clouding your judgments and you're not getting all these mixed thoughts. How many know I'm talking about? Sometimes when you set yourself to pray, all of a sudden you're getting all these other thoughts that are coming in. It's like a storm starts up. It's like the dust got unsettled, you know, the flies that were there. They got stirred up. And you keep praying, amen, and the anointing of God, he anoints your head with oil. Hallelujah. And you know what that oil was to do? It was to protect the head, amen, even the nose, amen, of the sheep. So that these nagging, biting flies, and even they would go in and lay eggs and worms would grow in their nose and it would irritate. And they would beat their heads against the rock sometimes to the degree that they'd even kill themselves because of the irritations. They'll self-destruct. Guys, there's a lesson in that. That your Father knows what you have need of. He has the supply of oil, hallelujah, to guard your heart and your mind and to keep you, amen. And in his presence, his fullness of joy at his right hand are what? Pleasures. But the enemy says, oh, but if you want to have pleasure, follow me. Yeah. God says, my way is better. It's your choice. Choose this day who you will serve. God gives you a free will. To decide. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for giving us chance after chance. Lord, we know we can't get it right on our own. God, we can't fix us. God, we need you. We need your mercy. We need your grace, Lord. We need help from above. We need your strength, God. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to pour your holy oil upon your body today. Lord, anoint our heads with oil and let that oil flow down, Lord, throughout every part of us. Bring us into your peace. Bring us into stability. Father, strengthen each one of us by your Spirit in the inner man. Strengthen us, Lord, so that we can overcome and walk in the victory that you've already accomplished for us. That the power of sin has already been broken, and all we got to do now is enforce that victory by belief of the truth. What you say is true. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's say that. I'm no longer A slave to fear. I am a child of God.